Ladies and gentlemen, you know what that sound means. It means it's episode 217 of the Personal Arrogance Podcast, brought to you by the Bald Move Network. My name is Eric Emmanuel Sanders Wahlquist. And joining me this week, as he does each and every week, is the other host of the show. His name is...
Jesse John Ryan Wilson.
John Ryan, baby. Have you
Canadian punter.
Have you caught any of the game tonight?
I was watching it. I watched it up till halftime.
Suffice to say, Emmanuel Sanders is my new boyfriend.
Okay, who is that again?
He's just a wide receiver for the Broncos. He's got 3 touchdowns tonight, and I happen to own him in a fantasy
league.
Up to
3.
Yeah, he caught another one in the third quarter, so.
Owie wowie.
I happen to own him in a fantasy league. But that has nothing to do with my eternal love for him. So anyway, Jesse, I think we should get to the topic that's on everybody's mind. Let's go straight to the Kickstarter update.
Yeah, let's. As of recording, we have 3 days to go.
Mm-hmm.
This campaign will end on Monday at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time.
There it is.
That's October 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely coming down to the wire, but at this point, I only need less than $1,600.
Yeah.
Because I got a flurry of donations yesterday.
It's really exciting, but I think the main thing here with our listeners and, like, loyal listener, you've been listening every week. You know that we don't need to tell you the awesome things about Lovecraft Brewing Company and the way that it'll change Jesse's life forever, and probably everyone who's ever met him's life forever, and everyone who's ever listened to him's life forever. But the fact of the matter is, this is your last chance. If you're going to give, you got to give now.
Yeah, there's no time.
Yeah. We're the last weekend, basically, of the Kickstarter. So, and it's super exciting. I mean, you're 95% of the way there. It kind of boggles my mind when I think about, we were on this podcast saying that we only have $28,000 more to raise, and it's almost there. Like, we only have $1,600 more to raise.
It's getting there. It's getting to a really big number, and it's super exciting, and I'm extremely happy.
Yeah, but this is the last chance. And I will, I don't want to... See, Jesse, you couldn't do this because you own the company, but I could do this because I'm just a schmo. I'm just saying, if you've already given, all I'm saying is that if you want to look at this a little analytically, there's 5% more to go. So if you just boost your contribution by 5%, so...
Say, ooh, I like that approach.
Yeah, I mean, say you gave at the $50 level to get the t-shirt, right? If you boost your level by 5%, that's only $2.50 more, and that gets us a little bit closer. If you boost it by 10%, that's $5 more, and that gets us that little bit closer. And he makes up for the other schmoes who didn't do the 5%. So all I'm saying, like I said, Jesse can't say this because it's his company, and he needs to put on a nice face to the public. But I can say it to you because I'm just a schmo. Just do that extra 5%. It'll make you feel good in your heart, in your soul.
Yeah, so get on it, and like I said, there's a couple of limited edition things you can only get through this Kickstarter, like the cool print by my brother-in-law and the Hypnos IPA hoodie.
Yeah,
so
dog.
You're gonna want to get those.
Yeah, it's just, and really, I mean, you've been a listener, you've at least listened to this episode, so congratulations on making it this far. But a lot of you have been with us for a very long time. You know our love for beer, and maybe we've had a little bit of an impact on your love for beer, which is super cool. And this is kind of the opportunity for Personal Arrogance to put their money where their mouth is and say, you know what, we're going to stop sipping beer and start making beer full time the way that we want to make it. And by we, I mean Jesse. So it's just, I'm giddy. I'm giddy with excitement, and I just can't wait to see it go over that precipice. But we can't do it unless all of you people who have been sitting around for the last 60 days and saying, I'm going to give, but I'm not sure when I'm going to give, this is your opportunity to give. It's your last chance to give. And one day when you see Lovecraft Brewing Company in a 22 in your bottle shop, you can say, I helped make that happen. And that's a pretty fucking awesome thing. So... That's my schmo sense.
No, that's a great impassioned plea. I couldn't have said it better myself.
I love you, buddy.
I love everyone.
I know you do. All right.
I love craft.
I love craft.
Brewing company.
So, Jesse, how was your week, buddy?
Pretty good. Right now I have something in my eye, and it's driving me nuts.
Speaking of stuff in your eye, I went out to pho this week with Lydia.
Did you get some pho splash?
It was the worst. It was like...
Uh-oh.
Because I like to make my pho as spicy as possible. I think of my pho as a full body cleanse.
Oh, no.
Okay, it's like I need to replenish every... I need to expel and replenish every fluid in my body when I eat pho.
That's disgusting.
Starts with sweat. Ends with other things. Don't need to go into that here. But, so I make this thing piping. Not only is it hot, but I'm putting spices in it. I'm putting peppers. I'm putting sriracha. I'm just going full bore on this thing. And I take a nice big sip of a meatball. Slips out of the side of my spoon. My big flat spoon. And then falls directly into the pho and splashes directly into my eyeball. Couldn't have been more of a direct hit. So, it rolled a 20 on my eyeball.
I've gotten a lot of pho splash, too. It's kind of a dangerous, oddly dangerous food.
So, it was so extremely painful. But literally all I could do is laugh because there's something that's hilarious about the worst possible thing happening. And that was at that moment, barring an armed robbery of the pho restaurant, that was like the worst possible thing that could have happened. So I'm with you, buddy. I stuck in your eye, brothers, you and me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, when I'm a rich guy, I'm going to build a, I have a couple of rich guy things that I want. For one, I want disposable coffee cups in my kitchen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that like when I'm going to work or whatever, I can just pour my own coffee in my disposable coffee cup, and I'm not like toting around a reusable coffee cup.
Okay.
Because screw you, nature.
Screw you, I'm rich.
Yeah.
I'll offset these
carbon
emissions.
I think another one would be I kind of would like an emergency chemical eye wash station in my house.
That would be so clutch, like twice a year.
Yeah, exactly. Like twice a year. I'd be like, yes, to the garage. And I'd flush my eyes out. It would be awesome.
You also have to have the lab shower. That's easily my favorite part about taking chemistry in high school is that you have the lab shower. And during the training, they're like, you guys, if you get these chemicals splashed on you, there's no modesty. You have to strip down and take a shower in front of your entire class. It's just the way it is.
I got that spiel.
Oh, I got that spiel. It's AP Chem, buddy. You're not.
I did not take AP Chem.
Regular Chem, you're not dealing with the kind of shit that we're dealing with in AP Chem. Okay. Uh-huh.
And then they were like, Eric, demonstrate for the class.
My favorite thing is that there's like a little shower curtain that goes around it.
Oh, so there is a little bit of modesty.
There's a little bit, but like, that's like, I feel like that's for the chemistry teacher to come over and be like, take off all your clothes and then zip the thing around. Like, that's not going to scar you for life.
No, that's a pretty normal experience for a high schooler.
Getting naked in front of your entire class and taking a shower in front of them. Totally normal.
Actually, you do have to do that in gym, though.
No, you don't.
I guess it's optional.
Not in today's world.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I ever once showered in gym class.
I didn't. In fact, I was terrified of it. And, like, I remember, like, I contemplated joining the wrestling team in junior high, and then I realized that you were required to take a shower if you joined the wrestling team, and I noped out of it. Noped it.
You know, I do recall in high school, though, there'd be, like, two or three guys that would take the shower.
Yeah.
They
were on the wrestling team.
In retrospect, like, yeah, they're like, screw it. I don't want to be nasty, stinky gym dude for the rest of the day. I'm going to take a shower and you all can deal with it.
Dude, when I was in junior high, you were lucky if I took a shower once a week. I'm not going to take a shower every day after gym class.
Well, I'm talking about high school.
I was barely pubescent.
throughout your entire high school career.
Yes, until I was 19 years old. No body odor.
Yeah.
Anyway. Jesse, what are you drinking this week?
Oh, I got free beer from work.
Nice.
Just finished up a Refresh Seltzer Water. My
Love
favorite.
It. I actually went out and I just kind of got the cheapest six pack at the local market here on the corner. And it was the Aloha Series Castaway India Pale Ale from Kona Brewing Company.
Yeah.
So drinking a little bit local here because this is brewed in Woodinville, Washington. For those who are not in, no, it's not actually the domestic Kona Brewing Company is brewed in Washington, not in Hawaii. Even though the company is there.
I went to their brewery in Kona, and yeah. It is very small.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even possible for them to make as much beer as they pretend to be making there.
Yeah, it's so you read the site, Kona Brewing Company, Kona, Hawaii, Portland, Oregon, Woodinville, Washington, Portsmouth, New Hampshire. But anyway, it is still really good. I like it. It's a very fresh drink. It reminds me actually a lot of the Audible Ale, which I know you're not a huge fan of from Red Hook. But it is brewed at the same place that it's brewed at Red Hook in Woodinville. So, but I think it's a super drinkable beer. So if you're looking for something a little tasty, something that will impress the parents always like Kona Brewing Company.
That's true.
It whisks them away. If you just show up with a Kona six pack and a lay, like you have scored major parents points. Talking to you, people are meeting their significant other parents for the first time.
And a lay.
You got to do it. You have to replicate.
That's a bold move.
Yeah, it's a bold move, but that is a move that will, I feel like that'll solidify. Old people fucking love Hawaii, dude.
It's true.
And I understand it because I love Hawaii. And I'm getting to the point where, like, I want to go to Hawaii every year. And, like, if you're 60, your Hawaii urge is so strong if you live on the West Coast. So you show up with a lei and a Kona six-pack and maybe a fire dancer, you are in like Flynn with the parentals.
Flynn from Carpet Sense.
Yeah, where you can buy Carpet Sense. Now that makes sense.
Yeah, you have no idea. It's actually a super apropos conversation because my mother-in-law recently was like, she wanted to go to Hawaii and she wanted to go with me and my wife mm-hmm. and WrestleNisha.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, if you guys pay for like half the plane ticket and half the hotel, I'll cover the rest.
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we're still not going to do that. Can't really afford it. We're too busy right now. We got other things going on.
Right.
And then later she showed up and she was like, well, I'll pay for the whole thing. We still had to be like, no.
Dude, people fucking, like, if you live on the West Coast, especially in the Northwest, and I feel like this is something that especially East Coasters, even people from Texas, Midwest people even, don't understand. Because Hawaii's fucking far away from even the Midwest. It's far away from Seattle. Like, it's a six-hour plane ride from Seattle.
Yeah, it's really far out there.
It's super far out there. But, like, if you live, at least from my understanding, like, it's the place you go in Seattle. Specifically in the wintertime. People are always going to Hawaii because, like, you have to, or else you're going to, like, get sad. You're going to get seasonal affective disorder.
Well, know who goes to Hawaii more than Washingtonians per capita?
What?
Alaskans.
Oh, for sure, dude.
And that's why Alaska Airlines flies, like, tons of flights out of Anchorage straight to Hawaii,
and
like, nonstop.
Yeah, and, like, and also out of Seattle. Basically, the two carriers that you have are Hawaiian and Alaskan. Like, Alaska Airlines loves to fly to Hawaii because you got to.
Yeah, they just funnel depressed people to Hawaii nonstop.
Yeah, and I know, like, on the East Coast, my understanding, or even on the Midwest Coast, like, I know Aaron went to the Bahamas, like, last year or something. Like, I feel like you go to the Bahamas. You go to the Caribbean if you're on the East Coast. West Coast, you got to go to Hawaii.
Right.
Anyway.
I guess there's pros and cons for each, though, because, like, the Caribbean's much cheaper, correct?
I guess depending on where you go, I have no idea. I've never, like, been to the Caribbean. I guess I went to Trinidad, which
either.
Is in the Caribbean, but it was on a mission
Hawaii
trip.
Hawaii is expensive.
Hawaii is expensive, but it's also America.
Yeah, no, that's what I think the problem is. Like, I would almost rather go to Fiji.
Uh huh.
Just like the extra hour. Yeah, I don't know. It might be hard to get a direct flight to Fiji. I think it's in
pricey.
Some sort of state of semi-military dictatorship after a recent coup. I'm just saying, I want the cheap drinks is what I want.
Yeah, that's true. Hawaii is expensive when you get there. Like, everything is expensive. It's like $5 a gallon for gas, and like the drinks are pricey. But you know what? The beach is free, motherfucker.
I don't like that. My wife hates it. I'm not a beach guy.
So, but Tasha likes the beach, right?
Yeah, she loves it.
Yeah, that's all we do now on vacations is go to the beach, Lydia and I.
Right.
It's beaching and pooling
that's
and drinking.
The thing. I don't like the beach.
What, you like to snorkel? Don't you like to snorkel?
Not really, no.
Jeez, man.
I know. I'd rather just sit, like, I'm the type of guy who'll, like, sit on the beach chair and, like, work on my D&D campaign.
But that's the thing, you gotta just bring somebody, like, you and I could just be doing this on a beach getting drunk, and it's at least as good as what we're doing right now.
That would actually be a great episode.
Beachcast.
Kickstarter.
Kickstarter for Beachcast. Anyway, Jesse, we got to get to some listener feedback. I love reminiscing about Hawaii with you, but yes, old people love Hawaii. Seriously. Especially if they're like GIs. Like, if there's like an old dude who's a GI, he fucking loves Hawaii. Just get him a lei and a Kona six-pack and you're in like Flynn.
Right, exactly, because he was stationed there in, like, 53 and had the time of his life.
Exactly. And he probably is still wearing an Aloha shirt, let's be honest. All right, let's get to some listener feedback, guys. We got, Jesse, like, an all-star lineup. And I know we got Roger Dotsie last week. We didn't get him this week, and I'm a little bummed about that, but that's okay. Because I feel like he was the appetizer to this entree of our all-star lineup of feedback this week. And, of course, we got to start it off with... Dun, 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 here comes Michael McBride.
Michael McBride here. I was just listening to your podcast, and I had to say I completely agree with your one thing about football. I mean, yes, the one thing is Dallas is right now, as of recording this message, are 5-1. I'm excited about that. Dallas hasn't been this good in years. But I have to agree with you guys completely on the statement of there's way too many penalty flags. Like, one call that called against y'all when we played y'all this past Sunday, where Richard Sherman apparently tripped Dez Bryant. I'm sorry, but I don't consider that because he didn't put his foot out in front of him and trip Dez Bryant up. No, he made the tackle he could because he had jumped for the ball and missed. He grabbed him by the foot because that's a thing you gotta do. He had to make the play to keep, he had to tackle Dez because the only way you can, because if he hadn't done that, Dez runs in for a touchdown. I mean, come on, what are you going to do? You're going to just let it? You're just going to let the guy run away from you? No. You're going to do everything you can to keep the play from becoming a score against you. And that's just how it works.
Yeah, Michael, I'm completely with you, dude. And I was actually, so I was watching the Monday night game tonight, and Jesse, you said you kind of watched the first half a little bit. I got a little bit more respect for the whole Denver thing. And I feel like, I'm sure the people from Denver don't want to hear about a Seahawks fan like saying they're good. Because, like, you know, whatever. But Denver's doing this thing now where they're, like, just taking a knee, kind of. It's like they get their yards and then they just kind of take a knee because they know Peyton Manning can get them another 12 yards on the next play. And it's kind of phasing defenses. Like, in tonight's game, the Chargers got an unnecessary roughness penalty just because, like, basically Ronnie Hillman took a knee and this guy, like, crashed into him because he's like, I don't know what's going on. But I didn't think that I feel like that's a smart move because it preserves bodies and B doesn't take away from the game. I think I'm with you, Jesse, here that like I don't need it to be violent. I just want it to be strategic and fun. And that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, I wasn't noticing that. I mean, I wasn't watching the game very closely.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't see that. I'd be interested to see what those plays are like because Why risk an ACL tear for an extra yard and a half? I know, like, football's a game of inches, but it's really not anymore.
It's not at all. It's a game of penalties. But I'm with you, man. Like,
it's a game of penalties. You win or you die.
I mean, they're not, like, taking a knee, but they're basically, like, I saw Demaryius Thomas catch a ball in a crossing route, and then he just kind of, like, took a slide, like, almost like a quarterback slide. And it's like, that's not a bad idea. And, like, obviously this is the Broncos, so they have Peyton Manning. They have an electric offense. They're going to be able to get the yards after on the next play. And I'm sure, and a lot of teams aren't in that position where they can be confident they're going to get a positive gain on the next play. But it's kind of refreshing, actually. And it's like what I do in flag football. Like, if I get, like, kind of caught, I'm just going to be like, all right, I'm down. Let's next play, guys.
Yeah.
Good on you.
I don't need a collision sport, like I said before.
Yeah.
I just, good fundamental tackles, stop the play where it needs to be stopped, and then do the next play.
That's true. All right, let's get up to the next phone call. This one comes to us from Georgia.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Will from Alabama.
I guess from Alabama.
I was calling because of your superhero rant. I enjoyed it. It was quite nice. I was wanting to know, you guys ever heard of, like, the mixed universes, the DC and the Marvel mix-up? Like, I think my favorite one was Dark Claw. It was, like, Wolverine and Batman mix. That was pretty cool. I want to know if you guys could mix any two DC characters, a DC character and Marvel character. Like, what would you mix? Who would it be? What would you do? Or did you ever just used to create superheroes and make up your own ones? I know me and my buddy, he listens now too. He made up Kevin Larson. He was impervious to bullets. His nickname was Kevlar. It was pretty cool. that was all my buddy Steven. But anyways, man, another thing though on your superhero rant, man, I'm kind of tired of superhero origin stories. Like, I'm really, really tired of, like, rebooting Batman 15 times. Why can't we just tell stories about Batman? Like, here's a new Batman movie. It's about Batman beating up the Riddler. Like, we don't have to reinvent Batman again. Like, that's so stupid. Like, don't reinvent him. Like, we don't have to see how Spider-Man went to high school and how he was awkward and stuff to learn that he's Spider-Man and he can punch lizard people in the face. I mean, come on, guys. Let's just be for real. Anyways, just your thoughts on all that, and stay arrogant and get off my back.
Get off my back. Will from Alabama. Yeah, dude. So they were actually called Almagam Comics. Have you heard about these, Jesse?
No.
So they were an amalgamation, like Amalgam Comics, of DC and Marvel superheroes in the same comic. So you had Super Soldier, which was a cross between Superman and Captain America. You had the Amazon, which I guess was, I don't know who this is, but I'm guessing it's Wonder Woman and somebody else. And you had Dark Claw, who was the Batman / Wolverine combo.
Wait, are they teaming up or is it one person?
No, these are like, they had a baby. Yeah. So, I mean, Darkclaw is obviously the coolest, because you're kind of taking the coolest DC character and the coolest Marvel character and putting them together.
That's pretty unstoppable.
Yeah, I mean, Batman's pretty unstoppable himself, but he doesn't need to be invincible with claws coming out of his hands.
He might accidentally kill someone, though, and then have, like, a crisis of conscience.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess that's my only weakness that I can find.
Yeah. Apparently there was also Lobo the Duck, who I'm guessing is a cross between Lobo and Jesus. Howard the Duck. Jesse, you're going to love this one. Aquamariner. It's the cross between Aquaman and Submariner.
Same guy.
Just Aquaman and a Speedo.
What about Hulk and Lex Luthor?
Oh, I kind of like it.
Evil genius Hulk.
Yeah, it'd be like Lex Banner or Hulk Luthor or
Lexinor.
Bruce.
Or it could just be like a bald guy with the brains of Hulk.
It only happens emotionally. It doesn't happen physically. The transformation into the Hulk.
Yeah, exactly. Lex smash. All right, calm down, Lex. Lex smash. Ow! Lex hurt his own hand.
How Lex become CEO with caveman speak. Yeah. I mean. Like, it's so funny because there are also characters that are in the DC universe and the Marvel universe who are basically clones of each other, like Deadpool and Deathstroke. Like, one is called Wade Wilson, and the other one is named Slade Wilson.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need that. That's weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good. But when you were a kid, did you ever make up any superheroes?
I can't really think of any.
Oh, I totally did. I had a whole frickin' storyline.
Oh, yeah?
It's called the It's called the Jimbo Project. This is like when I was in sixth grade. And Jimbo was all... It was J period I period M period B period O period. And I can't remember all of the names, but there were five squirrels who lived in the Appalachian Mountains in an Appalachian Mountain lair. And their names started with J, I, M, B, and O. And so it was a Jimbo Project. And they were billionaire genius squirrels. And they enlisted the help of three superheroes. One of them was named the Funk Master. The Funk Master. Not to be confused with Funkmaster Flex. And he was like a 70s kind of blaxploitation like dude. But like before I knew what blaxploitation was. Like right. it was like this dude, he had like an afro, he wore a leisure suit, he had platform shoes, and he was like a ninja super agent, and his name was the Funkmaster. And then there was this dude who's I think it was my first superhero I could create, which was named the Foam. And he was basically like a Jim Henson puppet. But he lived in the real world, and he was dressed up like a superhero. So it was the Foam, the Funk Master, and then this guy named Mascot Man, and he wore a mascot head, and then wore various sporting equipment, and kind of just kicked people's asses. And that was the Jimbo Project. And they also had sidekicks. So the Foam had a guy named the Laundry, who was just a dude who wore like a sweatsuit and like laundry socks, a lot of tube socks. The Mascot Man had a pinata named the Pinata, who actually didn't have a personality and was an inanimate object, but the Mascot Man insisted that pinata was real. And then the Funk Master had one too, but I don't remember who his was. He did have a nemesis named the French Master, who looked exactly like the Funk Master, except he had like a goatee and it wore a beret, and that was his nemesis, the French Master. So that's sixth grade Eric Walquist's brain.
It explains a couple of things about you.
Uh huh.
One, the Ballad of Flapjack Swede.
Yeah, Flapjack Swede is one of my superheroes for sure.
Uh-huh. Also, in high school, your appreciation of founder of Wikipedia Jimbo Wales.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember you had a thing about Jimbo Wales.
I don't remember having a thing about Jimbo Wales, but if his name is Jimbo, which is the name of the Jimbo Project, and Wales, which is the name of my favorite animal, I can't be against it.
Yeah, exactly.
And Wikipedia, which is where I get all my information. I literally have a Wikipedia window open as we speak.
Please donate to Wikipedia.org.
Also didn't take showers. Sixth grade. Anyway, let's get on
to... Just sprayed yourself with your own blowhole.
That's exactly... Perfect. I was a whale. Let's get on to the next one. And it comes to us from Anaheim. Here it is.
Hey, Eric and Jesse. This is Quizmaster Jerry Yoki calling you from Orange County again. Apparently, your system hung up on me last time and didn't get my first message at all. Apparently, it hates me. I was actually calling to tell you that the thing that was going to make you, Eric, burn with envy is that I have been chosen on Star Tours as the Rebel Spy 6 times. Since I've had an annual pass to go to Disneyland. And, that's about it. Stay arrogant, boys. Keep up the good work and get off my back.
Jesus Christ. Man, now, Jesse, I don't know if you go through this, but you and I, we went to Disneyland twice in high school.
Yeah.
I get Disneyland fever. Shut up. I get Disneyland fever, like every like a few years. Like I feel like I should go back to Disneyland.
I don't have that urge.
You don't have the urge to go to Disneyland.
No. I feel like if you lived in California, you would be one of the guys with the annual pass.
Oh, I would totally, dude. There's no reason not to. If you live in Southern California, you got to have annual pass. I would go to Disneyland like every Saturday. Like if Lydia's working, I just go to Disneyland and go on Star Tours for like 5 times in a row and then go home.
See, this is like the proverbial free trip to Hawaii. It's still going to cost you.
Oh, that's true.
You're not getting out of there for free.
That's true. You got to navigate it. You definitely have to navigate it.
But I'd rather go to Six Flags.
Well, Six Flags, though, I feel like I'm going to get stabbed every time I go to Six Flags.
That's fine. I can deal with a light stabbing. They just have better rides.
A little bit of more danger. It's just a little bit more of an adrenaline rush.
Yeah, exactly. It adds to the whole experience. It's like hanging out with Raiders fans instead of like... I don't know, Bills fans.
Yeah. Bills fans, they're gun people. They're not knife people. Buffalo Bills, whatever.
I feel like I could show up at a tailgate for the Bills wearing the opposing team's jersey, and they'd be like, here's some free barbecue, buddy. Let's have a good time. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Raiders, not so much. And that adds to the excitement of going to the Raiders game.
It really adds to the excitement.
Yes.
All right, let's get on to the next one. This one comes to us from New York, New York. Here it is.
Hey, Eric and Jesse. I'm calling in from Rochester, New York once again. How you guys doing? I got a pretty simple topic for you this week and a pretty simple question. I'm getting pretty excited about the Lovecraft Brewing Company. It's reached the final stages of the Kickstarter. I have to admit, I have not donated yet, but it is on the to-do list. I just need to pick up a paycheck, and then I'll be able to do that. But my question is, what do you guys, what are your thoughts on international beers? And, Canada does not count as international, but I was thinking about this because I just got back from Hungary last week, and I was really excited because I thought there'd be lots of, good beers in Hungary that I could try and sample, you know, during a week in Budapest. I thought I was going to have my fair share, and there weren't many, and it was disappointing. And I kind of thought this way about Hungary because when I went to Poland in the spring, I found this one pub in this little alley in Warsaw that had 58 different beers on tap, all Polish beers. And it got to the point where at one point in the night, I just told the bartender, you know, the price, pick whichever one you want, because it seemed like every single one of them was just as good as the last one, although that may have been my palate being a little weakened by, you know, reduced senses and all that. But so what's your thought on international beers? How easily do you guys get them? Being out in Seattle, I know, you know, being here in New York, getting some European stuff is pretty easy. And we also have this store in Rochester called Beers of the World that lets you take a trip around the world without a passport. Beers of the World basically gets you a beer from any country you can think of, as long as it's not something completely third world and a country no one's ever heard of before. So, yeah, topic's international beers. What do you think? Great job on the podcast. As always, looking forward to the next episode. Get off my back. Bye-bye.
Get off my back. Thanks for the call, man. Like, yeah, your take on European beers, obviously you're a big fan of Belgians and European styles. So where do you go to get those European styles?
I don't know. I mean, I get what I can take, but it's sort of like Orville and Saison DuPont and Duvel. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of just like the kind of stuff you can get anywhere in the U.S.
Spaten.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Optimator, which tastes like garbage by the time it gets to me.
Celebrating.
I don't know. I don't really drink a ton of international beers. And like even like I feel like the Trek by the time it makes it out of an urban center where it got imported to, by the time it gets to me here out in the sticks where I live, it definitely takes a toll on the beer. And that's sitting on the shelf forever. Like, I had a Saison DuPont that I got at the local QFC, and it had clearly been sitting around for a while. It just tastes like trash.
Yeah. You got to get fresh beer. I mean, and that's the challenge. I mean, I will say, and I've said it on here before, Omnipolo Brewing Company from Stockholm, Sweden is probably my favorite brewery, because everything I try from there is awesome. And I have no idea how they get it out here and have it taste good. But everything that I've had from them is delicious, and you're paying $7 for a 12-ounce bottle of it. So you're paying for the convenience of being able to drink it. But I love that stuff. But also, I mean, from what I understand, Poland is a much more beer-centric country than... I mean, I don't know anything about Hungary's beer scene. But from what I understand, I mean, Poland is like all beer slash all vodka all the time. So just clear or beer.
I've heard a lot about Polish beer. I haven't heard much about Hungarian beer, but obviously I'm not qualified to make that sort of distinction.
Well, Jesse, it'd be interesting if we could talk to somebody who, I don't know, maybe was qualified in the goings-on of the European beer culture. Oh, wait a second. We know somebody. His name's Dennis Kleinbeck. Actually, we got a voicemail from him this week. That's what we call a segue. Here it is, motherfuckers.
Hey, guys. It's been a while. It's Dennis Kleinbeck from Germany reporting back for duty. Yeah, the last few weeks were really busy. I'm behind on the last episodes. I didn't listen to them. Yeah, it's a bummer. But yeah, I had lots of stuff to do, getting older, adjusting to life at the university and stuff like that. But now I'm set, and there was also a little time to relax, and I went to Belgium for 5 days or so. And I have to say, it's really, really nice.
I bet.
When you're into the architecture and the landscapes, it's really nice to look at. And, of course, beer, where I went with some of the lesser-known brews. I Googled and searched for the best ones to taste. And, yeah, I have to say that they're pretty good. yeah, for Germany, it's not easy to say that the Belgian beer... Yeah, maybe a little bit better than the German one. But, yeah. but back to the university stuff. I'm enrolled in an English course, which is a lot of fun. And I learned the great thing that English is basically a Germanic language and how similar the two languages are. So, yeah, I mean, English is more related to the stuff I talk every day, all day long, than I initially thought. And so why don't we switch it up from time to time und reden mal ein bisschen Deutsch, meine lieben Freunde. anyway, Jesse, I'm eager to support the Kickstarter, and I already ordered a debit card, which is the only way I would be able to chime in a few bucks. But I'm still waiting for the damn thing, and it's going to be close, but I'm sure I will be able to, maybe on the last 2 days of the campaign, but hey... better late than never. Yeah, and I really, really hope this works out because it's such a great idea, and I would be proud to say that I helped a friend start a brewery in the US. It would be great and crazy, and yeah, also really great. Yeah. okay, I'm running a little long this week without having a real topic to talk about. So have a great cast, Jesse. All the best luck with the Kickstarter on the last few days. Have a great cast, a great week, and get off my Kleinbeck.
Perfect.
Oh my, I don't know what it is about Dennis Kleinbeck, but like every time he calls in, I get like a little weepy. I get like a little bit of a tear comes to the edge of my eye.
It's just impressive to have a fan
in Germany,
in the Central Europe region.
It's just so great, man. Like, my ultimate dream is to go to Essenspiel in Germany with Dennis Kleinbeck. That would be my ultimate dream.
Yeah. But no, I mean, your English is great. I give it an A- because you ran out of synonyms for great. You did say great twice, so I do have to dock points.
This is what I don't understand. Like, is he taking an English language course or like an English literature course? Because
he seems super fluent.
Yeah, English language course, like, you're done, dude. You're okay. You're done with English language. English literature, sure, go for it. I mean, that's like step two. Step one is learn the language. Step two is read the language. So go for that. But you know, ask your English professor to listen to this section of the podcast. We've talked about this before. As Americans, as native English speakers, Dennis Kleinbeck is 100% English speaker. 99.9% English speaker. To have him work on his synonyms for great. And other than that, he's good to go.
Fantabulous?
Fantabulous.
Oh, here's one. I've been working. This is a homebrew word for me. Mm-hmm. Scrotastic.
Scrotastic. What?
Yeah, you heard me. Scrotastic.
What's the etymology on that?
Hmm?
What's the etymology on that?
It's like fantastic plus
scrotally.
Like scrotum.
See, I feel like it's a mixture of totally, which then by jovialness becomes scrotally.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it, because I turned totally into scrotally, and then I turned scrotally into scrotastically, and then that I chopped off the adverb and just ended up with scrotastic.
Yep, works out.
But the history of English is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And it is truly the bastard child of French and German.
And that's the way we like it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, we have one more voicemail coming into us this week. Oh no, we have two more. So let's go to Philadelphia for a little bit of JR.
What's up, Arrogant Nation? It's JR from Philly here. I'm kicking back with a Yingling Oktoberfest. It's not the craftiest beer in the world, but it's a local tradition. They started a couple years ago, hopping on, diversifying, and it's all good in the hood. So, you know, it's been a while since I called in. I've been enjoying missing out on a couple weeks because it's been crazy busy for me. But then really enjoying binge watching or binge listening even the show. Really good stuff there. And so 'tis the season for some craft beer and Halloween candy pairings. Let's get started with Hershey's Milk Chocolate Bars and Milk Stout. Classic.
Classic.
Pair Milk Stout with Hershey's Chocolate Bars for a smooth and full-bodied pairing. And the added lactose in the beer will enhance the creaminess of the chocolate. I would hold off on this one because I'm lactose intolerant, but... yeah, so Milk Stout it up with some Hershey's Chocolate, Don Draper style. Hershey's Dark Chocolate Kisses pairs well with Raspberry Ale. Ooh. And that's crisp and tart, you know. So go for some Raspberry Wheat Ale. Sorry, Eric. And next up, we got Butterfinger Bars with a Bock beer. Traditional German-style Bock.
Butterbock.
Is dark in color, sweet caramel aromas. Rich, roasty malt flavors. So pair them up with some Butterfingers. We got Hot Tamales, everybody's favorite candy to not eat at the movie theater. Pair them up with an IPA. Have some hops to cut the heat in the sweet, spicy candies. And an IPA on the more floral side, as opposed to the Pioneer citrusy side, goes well here. Something like maybe Deschutes Chainbreaker. Chainbreaker?
Hello?
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's favorite Halloween candy, candy corn. Mm. We're going to put that with a light lager because who the heck knows what to put with candy corn. Tame the intensity of this sugar candy corn with smooth, dry finishing lager that balances out the caramel flavors. And we got Reese's Peanut Butter Cups with a barrel-aged beer, something like an Avery Rumpkin, which is... one of the stiffest beers besides like maybe Dogfish 120 or some of the other aged Dogfish stuff that I've ever had. Rumpkin is something like 13 or 17%. It's way up there. So a barrel-aged beer is going to be rich, bold, and get together with those peanut butter cups in a nice way. A couple more. We got Caramel Apple Suckers. That goes good with a barley wine because it's going to stand up to the apple's acidity and give you a little bit of extra sweetness on the sour apple suckers. And last but not least, we're taking a throwback Thursday to the 80s for some Pop Rocks, which is going to pump, which is going to pair well with maybe something from Lovecraft Brewing Company, a funky sour beer. Something that is going to attenuate the tartness and effervescence of Pop Rocks with a funky sour ale. This combination will finish nice and dry and leave your tongue tingling. Hey, guys, so That's my Halloween candy and pairings, and by my pairings, I mean beerandbrewing.com's pairings, which I just read to you.
Oh, no!
So, happy Halloween. Get off my back. Stay arrogant. Go Lovecraft. Later, guys.
Woo!
Go Lovecraft. Thank you so much, JR, for calling in this week. Man, JR, too. Like, these are two guys, man. Dennis Kleinbeck and JR from Philly. They're like old. They're oldies, but they're goodies, man. They're like the Temptations. You just got to turn it up and listen. That's what I'm
saying.
What's
old is new again. I have a theory for you, Eric.
Yep.
I was thinking about this because you think about candy corn, and it's like, what even is the flavor of candy corn?
Right.
It's just like pure sweetness, right?
Well, I tend to associate candy corn with vanilla.
You think?
I mean, I don't know. It's pretty much just sugar, right?
My theory was that candy corn probably got popular back in, like, when corn syrup was new.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, hey, we can make this corn syrup treat, and it tastes vaguely like corn, and call it candy corn.
Yeah.
But now that everything is made out of corn syrup, we can't tell the difference anymore.
This tastes like Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And that's cat my food. Theory.
It just tastes like sweet.
Exactly. JR, thanks so much for those pairings. And finally, we're going to go north of the border for our good buddy Rollo Tomasi to cap it off. Here's Rollo.
Hey, Eric. Hey, Jesse. Rollo Tomasi on the move, walking my dog. Just had to pause your last episode and call in and say, get off my brain and get out on my back, or something like that. You guys were talking about themed costume parties with Roger Datsy, Quentin Tarantino, and Wes Anderson. This summer, I moved into a new house, so my wife and I were talking about doing theme parties. Top two, Wes Anderson, Quentin Tarantino. Thought Wes Anderson might be a little too obscure for all the party goers, so long story short, I ended up ordering a yellow jumpsuit off of Etsy. 220 pounds. There's a little entry for the fantasy diary.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, like I said, get off my back, stay arrogant, and Lovecraft gives you tentacles.
I love it, Jesse.
Yeah.
It. Yeah. Perfect, buddy.
Thing is, Red Bull just got sued.
That's true, because they said Red Bull gives you wings.
Exactly. I don't want to get sued when people are like, it didn't actually give me tentacles.
Doesn't actually give me tentacles. So. That's great, dude. Yeah, are there any directors, Jesse, that you and I both admire equally? I mean, we couldn't do a Guy Ritchie party because everybody would just wear, like, fedoras and suits.
I don't know directors.
Yeah. I mean, James Cameron party might be kind of hilarious.
I'm out of my depth.
Yeah. James Cameron party might be hilarious.
James Cameron would be fun.
Because you could dress up as, like, one of the people from Aliens, or you could dress up as...
Yeah, I would wear my Sigourney Weaver sexy teddy.
Well, you could just be the nude Sigourney Weaver from Aliens. in, like, the tube, where they, like, clone her back. Was that Aliens?
I think that's Resurrection.
Oh, Jesus. Well, still, I feel like that's your costume, man. I mean, you're showing
up... Yeah, exactly. Sexy Sigourney Weaver. No, I've always wanted to, like, get some PVC pipe and some milk crates and make my own autoloader.
Yeah.
The robot thing that became the SCVs in StarCraft.
Yep. I'm with you, buddy. Anyway, let's move on to our topics this week. So we obviously took a lot of time for our listener feedback, and we love it when you give us a call and leave us a voicemail at 360-362-0024, or some of you decided to go the alternate route, send us a actual voice recording at personalarrogance@gmail.com. We'd love to get your voice on the podcast, and that's always awesome. So we're going to move right into our topics this week, Jesse, and our first topic is going to be movies.
Do you know what nemesis means?
Ah! Okay, so we would be remiss to miss the big news of the week, and that is the Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron teaser trailer that has been released. And this is the next Avengers movie. It will be coming out in May. Jesse, before we hit play on this, because we're going to watch it together, we're going to talk through it. What are your expectations for the Avengers 2? And can you just refresh us on how much you liked Avengers 1?
Well, I saw Avengers 1 once.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it in 3D, which I think was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was not shot for 3D. It was like retroactively fitted for 3D, right?
That's the correct term.
So,
it's a scientific
so term. The whole time it felt like I was watching a pop-up book.
Mm-hmm.
But I also thought that the story was really boring and bad. And the characters were bad and invincible, which makes them non-relatable.
Okay. So there's a couple things. Going into this, because I love the Avengers, but it wasn't my favorite comic. It wasn't even my favorite comic book movie of the year that it was released. But I'm with you. I wouldn't say that it's a bad movie in my opinion. I didn't think that the characters were bad, and I like Joss Whedon's writing. But
Thor should not. You hit him in the head with a. Oh, God, a lightning bolt, a magical lightning bolt from God,
uh-huh.
And Iron Man's like, oh, now I'm supercharged. Ugh. And then Loki is like, it's like Loki and Thor, and Loki's like, I stabbed you. It's like, oh, it hurt me, but now I'm back to health. Who knows what any of the rules are? Nothing matters when anything goes, and no one can get hurt permanently. Except for, like, some side character who's, like, some agent or whatever that no one gives a shit about to begin with. So boring.
To set up a television series on ABC? Jesse, I think that you just have a new tagline for Lovecraft Brewing Company, which is nothing matters when anything goes. It's almost Outback Steakhouse, but not quite.
No rules, just right, baby.
Yeah, nothing matters when anything goes. All right, Jesse. Well, if you thought that the invincibility was a problem, then I got a trailer for you, sir. It's Avengers Age of Ultron. So I want us to hit this thing at the same time, and we'll go ahead and talk through it. So go ahead and count me down, Jesse.
All right, 3, 2, 1, and play.
All right, here we go.
Appropriate audiences.
Oh, shit. Are we appropriate?
Probably not.
I'm going to show you something beautiful.
I'm going to show you the world.
Everyone screaming.
Shining, sparkling, gleaming.
You want to protect the world, but you don't want it to change.
Yeah, exactly.
You're all puppets. Tangled in strings.
This, well, we killed a robot already. We're ahead of the curve.
Got no strings to hold me down. Bruce Banner got skinnier. So,
it's the end. The end.
This
of the
may
path
what
started us on.
Oh, this may.
This may. So here you go, Jesse. It's Hulk versus Hulk monster thingy.
Hulk versus Super
Iron Man Hulk.
Iron Man.
Andy Serkis. Hello, hello.
But now I'm free. There are no strings.
Oh, broken shield.
Too bad they already broke shield in Captain America 2. Sorry. Sound like such a hater right now. But Jesse, obviously, this is Avengers in peril. Okay, that's what Age of Ultron is all about. These are the Avengers have met their match. So, are you excited about that? When you said that the first movie was all about the Avengers being invincible.
Well, they appear to be following a pretty clear formula here with Empire Strikes Back.
Mm.
And I get it.
Is that Titanic 2?
Sure, say what?
Titanic 2, Empire Strikes Back. They're talking about the British Empire, right?
Iceberg Strikes Back.
Oh, yeah.
That's when the iceberg came and hit Ireland and Ireland sank.
Uh-huh. Yep. In the same fashion that the Titanic sank. It went up on one end and then broke in half and fell down. That's how Northern Ireland was created.
That's how you got
created.
The Isle of Man.
Okay, anyway.
I'm still not interested in this, and because I know there's one of two outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Either they, you know, everything goes bad for a while and then pull it together.
Right.
And save the day, or much more likely, everything goes bad for a while, and then they sort of manage to pull off a punt.
Right.
Roll credits.
To the
not
to
interested
the
in
movie.
Either of those storytelling mechanisms.
Yeah, it's. I'm with you, buddy. I mean, Joss Whedon is he's got nerd cred. He's got the nerd cred.
Oh yeah.
We're talking Buffy, we're talking Firefly, we're talking the Avengers.
And he managed to sink. If he went full Firefly, if he went full Serenity on the Avengers, it would be the best thing ever.
It would
he killed
kind
of off
awesome.
So many characters in Serenity.
That's what I'm saying, man. Kill two characters. I mean, that's balls.
And not
here.
Shitty ones either. Who cares about Black Hawk or whatever?
Well, okay, so we have the Marvel announcements, and in the Marvel announcements, we have Captain America 3. We also know that Iron Man is going to be in Captain America 3, so that rules out two of them. We also have a speculative Black Widow movie. We have a speculative Hulk movie. There is also a speculative Thor 3. I'm saying get rid of Thor, man. And I know this is my favorite character, and that's actually why I want them to get rid of him.
Thor kind of gets knocked out fairly often in the Marvel Universe, right?
I don't know.
I know he was gone for a long time.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man, like, you can kill Thor and he can come back because he's a god. But put him in a dormant state.
Like, who cares?
Mm.
And again, like, this is what I grapple with when I try and tell a convincing Dungeons & Dragons story.
Yeah.
Is in Dungeons & Dragons, you can just raise people from the dead no matter what. It's like, no one can die forever.
Yeah,
and my
like
biggest challenge is trying to create a story where people can't just be dead.
Yeah.
Get rid of them. You can die. And that's the only way to create any sort of real suspense, because in comic book land, it's just like, all right, he's dead, but I wonder when he'll come back.
Well, and, you know, honestly, that's what makes people, and I have to take a step back from this because I'm just speaking from speculation here, but that seems to be why people like Game of Thrones so much. Or one of the aspects there is that people die and they're fucking dead.
They that's cut Rob's head off, spoiler alert. and it's done. He's
done.
Never coming back. Rob is dead, done, buried. Put him in the crypt in Winterfell, which is a scorched ruin. Deal with it.
Spoiler alert.
And I like that storytelling.
Well, and I'm with you, man. Like, the most memorable moment of our current D&D campaign, and I know people haven't been following along, obviously, because we're doing it with our friends, but was a Battle of the Orchard, and that's because Aeron's character, Bayron, literally almost died, and I feel like if he would have died, he would have been dead.
You know what?
Because at the very beginning of this D&D campaign, you said that you can die in this game. You set that out at the beginning of the game. You said your character can die, and anybody that they try to mess with in this world may potentially have the ability to kill them. leaving that precedent at the beginning of a game, especially a Dungeons & Dragons game, immediately raises the stakes. Because I don't know about the other guys in this character. I'm carrying my character over from another D&D campaign. And I don't want this fucker to die. I like my character a ton. And that's why every time we go into battle, I cast invisibility on myself immediately.
Yeah, I never have a reason to go after your character.
Yeah. I cast invisibility and I spawn never centipedes. Makes sense. I spawn centipedes on the bad guys.
But yeah, the thing was with that game, like I took Bayron down. He was unconscious. Like he was eliminated from the battle.
Mm-hmm.
And the next round, I had another character hit his unconscious body in the guts with an axe.
Yeah.
And he would have done it again in the next round and killed him.
Right.
If I think Jordy ended up saving his life.
Jordy saved his life.
And that was a really intense moment for me because I don't want to eliminate his character from the game. But I was like, these characters that I'm running have to.
Well, they have to.
And I think that's where, like, they have to because nothing they do matters if they're not willing to see it out and actually cut his head off and punt it downfield.
Yeah, and...
And I have to, as a storyteller, I have to be willing to commit to that.
And I'm completely fine with that. Like, that is, it adds so much more stakes to the game when somebody dies. And like, the fact of the matter is that, yeah, in Empire Strikes Back, the Empire got their asses kicked. The worst thing that happened was Luke got his hand cut off. Because even the carbonite freeze wasn't a big deal for Han. Like, he came out blind for 30 minutes and then he was fine. Like, the stakes were still super low after the Empire Strikes Back. You kill Chewbacca, all of a fucking sudden, this shit is real.
I'm just picturing Patton Oswalt in that Parks and Rec moment. Yeah,
exactly.
The severed head of Chewbacca.
I mean, on the other hand, Qui-Gon Jinn gets chopped in half, or gets killed in... Episode 1, everybody hates that movie.
Yeah, but no one cared about Qui-Gon Jinn.
That's true.
That's the other thing. We've been playing this Dungeons & Dragons game for, like, near on a year at this point.
Yeah.
It's because I'm buttering you guys up. I'm trying to make you care about your characters so that I can really fuck with you.
I easily have the biggest connection to my character that I've ever had to a D&D character in a D&D campaign in this game.
That makes me really happy, because I'm really, really excited where this story is going to go soon.
Great. I mean, but that's the thing, is like my character, like you say, has been developed for over a year, has an extremely strong backstory, and has loyalties, has apathies, has motivation, everything that you need from a character. That's the character that I own and that I have owned for... Yeah, a year plus in this D&D campaign that you put together. That makes it super compelling. And while you can put together really great popcorn action flicks, dude, if you off Captain America and he's fucking dead, if you chop Captain America in half, all of a sudden the stakes have been raised so much higher. You're not going to be able to sell that Captain America toy in 6 years, but maybe you could sell the Captain America Memorial toy.
There has to be the proverbial sword of Damocles hanging over the characters' heads, and if you remove that and mm-hmm. put a safety net underneath them, no one cares anymore.
Well, and that's honestly what I'm feeling. Like I've been on this Marvel bandwagon from the beginning. Like I loved Iron Man, and I followed that thing through. I loved the Avengers. I loved the original Thor movie. I loved Thor the Dark World. I loved Captain America 2. But for some reason, this Avengers Age of Ultron trailer is kind of falling flat for me. And I feel like it's because I don't just want to take the Marvel ride anymore. I want the Marvel ride to actually go somewhere. It's like asking to go on the Matterhorn at Disneyland over and over and over. I'm ready to just jump on a fucking bobsled and take the actual plunge, you know?
Hey, bones don't break on the bobsled.
They shatter.
They shatter.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, we've been on the Matterhorn enough times. It's time for us to go up to Whistler in Vancouver and take a run on the Olympic bobsled track. And, you know, everything I've seen from this trailer, it's a little tropey. It's, like you said, a little Empire Strikes Back-y. And I want some stakes, buddy. I want some real stakes.
Yeah, you know, as a moviegoer, you're jumping on the back of the bull.
Yeah.
And that's only exciting when you know that it can buck you off.
Yep. Yep. And when we're in a world where now this is like the eighth Marvel movie, I think, eighth or ninth Marvel movie, that bull has to actually, you know, go around the ring a few times now. It's I don't know. That my analogy fell apart. Whatever.
Right. And this is what I was kind of saying about DC and stuff before was, you got nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. You're already making a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Start killing people. Start doing interesting stuff with your story. Like, take it in an unpredictable direction, because people are already going to watch it. You've got them.
Yeah,
you got the fish on the line.
Right.
Now the hook and do something cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
I'm just afraid that with so many people involved and producers and everything, it's just such. I'm afraid of the bureaucracy of storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I really think they should fucking kill Captain America. Like, that would be the ballsiest move. I'm just saying, because Captain America the Winter Soldier was one of the top grossing Marvel movies of all time. If they come out the next summer and fucking kill Captain America, and then Falcon becomes Captain America, that would be an amazing, ballsy move from Marvel. And then they can be like, yeah, Chris Evans is no longer Captain America. Captain America 3 is going to be about Falcon as Captain America. All of a sudden, I want to see Captain America 3 a million times more. So,
right, especially with a character, a legacy character like that.
Yeah.
Someone like that or Green Lantern, where multiple iterations can fill the role.
Yeah, like, it doesn't have to be Iron Man, because whatever. It should be Iron Man, honestly. Tony Stark's been in 5 movies so far. 6 movies if you count the Incredible Hulk. So it should be Iron Man. Iron Man should pass the torch off. But I think
he's the most interesting character to screw around with, though.
Yeah.
Because he's the most self-destructive.
Yeah, absolutely. But
anyone can bring the Avengers, it's Tony Stark, and it's his alcoholism.
Yeah, like, I like the idea of Tony Stark, but I love the idea of killing Captain America. Just off him. Chop him in half. He's not coming back.
Jesus. Red Skull over here.
Hail Hydra. So let's move on to Trivial Pursuit. We got Genius One Trivial Pursuit here. I'm going to roll a 6-sided die, see what category we're doing. It is a 1. We're doing geography, Jesse. You ready to go?
My favorite.
All right, Jesse, this question is for you. What tropic line passes through Taiwan? Now, Jesse, I'm going to see if I can agree with you. You've heard the question. Should we go nearest tropic line? Or I guess it's a tropic line. It's not a latitude. Okay. It's one of the tropic lines, Jesse. You go for it.
I believe when I was learning this in 4th grade,
yeah,
I was trying to teach myself how to remember which one was a Tropic of Cancer and which one was a Tropic of Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
My 4th grade logic was, if you had corn and it was crappy, you wouldn't want it, so you'd bury it, so it'd be lower.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with the Tropic of Crappy Corn.
I'm going to go with the Tropic of Cancer by default. And I got it.
Oh, dang.
Jesse, I think your logic was right, but for some reason you thought that Taiwan was in the Southern Hemisphere.
Taiwan?
It's off the coast of China.
I don't know.
It's just south of Japan.
The map is screwed up. If you look at a map, the equator is like two-thirds of the way down.
The map is screwed up, guys.
I blame the map.
All right. Jesse, this question is for me. What state is Mount Rushmore in? I'm going to go South Dakota.
I think you're correct. I'm going to say the state of denial.
It is South Dakota. Jesse, you need to sweep to tie. What country does a true bohemian live in?
Oh, Dennis Kleinbeck's not homeland. Shh. Oh, what year is this?
1981.
Czechoslovakia.
I'm just going to go with Germany for fun. You got it, motherfucker.
Okay. Well, I was worried about Czechoslovakia versus Czech Republic.
Oh, not in 1981. Czech Republic's like 1996.
Okay. I know. I got there.
All right. You did get there. I'm very, very impressed, honestly. You need to steal the tie. Here we go. What was the capital of Brazil before 1960? I'm just going to go with Rio D.
God, it's on the, like, San Paulo.
It was Rio de Janeiro.
Ah.
I think San Paulo is probably the current. That was great. That was a great poll, though, San Paulo.
No, the current capital is Brasilia.
Oh, hello, hello.
Which is a manufactured city.
Manufactured just like that stadium in the Amazon for the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. It was made by Palm Harbor Homes.
All right, Jesse. Well, you know, we just did geography, and that means that, well, it doesn't really mean anything, but it does go nicely into my next topic, and that is geography. And we've talked about this a couple times, Jesse, about map making. And about maybe redrawing the lines of the United States. And Slate.com did actually a whole series of articles about this topic itself. And there are a couple of really interesting ones. So the first one kind of just talks about maybe if we stopped gerrymandering a little bit, or if I don't know if we did gerrymander, if we stopped gerrymandering, right? Gerrymandering is bad. Not good.
Gerrymandering is like artificially restructuring districts for votes.
Right. And that's kind of what this writer did. This writer's called Christian Rutter. And this guy put together kind of a map of the United States based on population density, which I think is kind of a cool thing. So he kind of split up the entire United States according to population density. And it really kind of speaks to how vast the Midwest is. The main one that I thought was really interesting and kind of eye-opening is that if you took North Dakota and South Dakota, which were both, or South Dakota was featured in our trivia segment, and you took North Manhattan and South Manhattan, the island of Manhattan in New York City, they basically have the same population. So North Dakota has a population of 672,591, whereas North Manhattan has a population of 672,637. So actually, North Manhattan has more people in it than North Dakota. And South Dakota has a population of 800.
That actually surprises me. I would have thought that North Manhattan would have had way more than North Dakota.
Well, and then South Dakota,
I understand that these states are fucking empty. That's where I'm going to end up. I'm just going to get so stressed out that I like cash all in all my chips and buy a ranch. I'm like, I can eat nothing but goat cheese, right?
Hey, man, goat cheese is clutch, man. I love goat cheese.
Exactly.
Yeah, so South Dakota, population 814,180. South Manhattan, 814,202. So actually,
that's amazing.
The island of Manhattan has more people on it. And by the way, this doesn't even include the very north tip of Manhattan. The island of Manhattan has more people on it than both states, North Dakota and South Dakota, combined.
Yeah, and this American democracy is so wild.
Yeah.
It's insane that all these Midwest states, Great Plains states, just because you're a state, you get two senators.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of really stupid.
It is kind of really stupid when you look at it from that perspective.
It's like all of New York State gets two senators.
Yeah.
But North Dakota, South Dakota, who have a combined population that's not even quite the island of Manhattan, get four senators. Like, that's pretty weird.
Yeah, but it's kind of a callback to the House of Lords, House of Commons, right?
Yeah, and as someone who is legally obligated to hate England, like, I'm not a huge fan of that system to begin with.
Yeah, it's like you need a Congress, but then you also need a more hoity-toity Congress.
I don't think we need any of that. I'm an advocate for true democracy. We don't need representative democracy, but that's a topic for another.
Everybody votes on every topic.
Yes.
With the internet, there's absolutely no reason why that shouldn't be the case.
Exactly. Plebiscites, baby. Leave it up to the people.
Yeah.
When we need to vote on something, you just punch in your voter registration number online and you say yes or no.
Yeah. So this person,
Then all the power belongs to, I mean, who gets to decide what we vote on?
Who gets
That's
to decide
where it gets what, interesting.
Yeah, who gets to decide what we vote in, and then also who gets to count the votes?
I think Walmart.
Walmart gets to count the votes?
Yeah. We're rolling back the votes, baby.
The Walmart greeter becomes the most powerful person in America.
They're the Mengistu of 22nd century America.
So this person, this is actually a different person who wrote this particular article. This is Ben Blatt. But he cut up America. What if America were two states of equal population? Where do you think that line gets drawn, Jesse? If we were two states, one west and one east, where do you think that line gets drawn if the two sides had equal population?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm going to say it's like a diagonal that starts in East Texas and then cuts up and hits the Great Lakes.
So you'd be close. It's basically if you draw a straight line from Chicago downward, then there's as many people east of that line as there are west of that line, and that includes Alaska and Hawaii.
Where does it go down? Like, where does it hit when it goes down?
It goes straight down from Chicago.
Right. I'm trying to draw a mental map here, but where does it hit the ocean?
It's actually not straight down. It moves a little bit toward the east, and it basically cuts off at the edge of Florida's panhandle.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you're including most of Alabama and all of Mississippi in that. So it's basically okay. Just a line drawn straight down the Mississippi River-ish. What about three states, Jesse?
Oh. Okay. What are you asking me?
So I'm just going to say this. This is a little too hard to illustrate over voice. But basically, if you take like the east coast of Michigan, draw a line straight down, and then you take the state line of Minnesota and draw a straight line down, then you could split up into three states. So even like the American West is so vast. And the crazy thing about this to me is that like we have Texas and we have California still in these both of these areas. And it still doesn't even pale in comparison to fucking Florida and New York, basically.
If there was no Texas and no California, there would be no one out here.
Yeah.
It's and it really would be nuts. A utopia.
Well, that's the thing. I actually found all this stuff on r/Cascadia. They're like, like, we need to secede. I got the need to secede.
I love that idea, though. Just secede. We'll see what businesses stick around in this fugue state that's constantly besieged and at war. Yeah, Boeing and Microsoft, they're not going to just leave. They're totally going to hang out.
Yeah. I mean, so this is the crazy thing. So if America were split up into 50 states of equal population, this is another kind of cool map. Basically, like I said, Island of Manhattan, its own state. Los Angeles, its own state. Chicago, its own state. Florida split up into three different states. I didn't realize there were so many fucking people living in Florida.
Oh, yeah, dude. That might be the second most populated state.
Maybe. I don't know. We have.
I want to say it is.
We have basically all of Alaska plus Western Washington is its own state. They have.
I do not like the idea of being under the tyranny of Alaska.
Well, that's the problem, is that all of the, well, actually, it would kind of be awesome, Jesse, because Alaska has nobody living in it. So it's basically Eastern Washington, except it has a fuck ton of oil. So,
yeah, that's great, but it's also got a fuck ton of, like, crazy survivalists.
Like Eastern Washington.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if there was a war, it'd be interesting, interesting war between Washington and Alaska. I give it to Alaska.
Well, yeah, they have more guns, for sure. they win the arms race.
It could be a push. But they got more space.
The most amazing thing to me is basically the Canadian border all the way down to Las Vegas and all the way to the California state line is one state. There's basically three giant states geographically. It's that one. There's one immediately east, which is basically all of Colorado, part of Oklahoma, Nebraska. That's all its own state. And then North Dakota, South Dakota, all the way down basically to what now is Iowa is its own state. There's just a fuck ton of space, man.
There's a lot of space out there.
Space, the final frontier. It's actually just Montana. Yeah. So this is kind of interesting because it's all geographic. But the other thing that was more interesting to me is that this person then took this and applied social media to it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And this is
Twitter? The Twitter state?
It's actually called the United States of Reddit.
Uh-oh. I do not want to live there.
I really don't want to live there. Official religion, r/atheism. Not saying that atheism is a bad thing. I'm just saying r/atheism is a bad thing.
I agree with you. As a non-practicing atheist,
yeah.
I agree with you.
It's bad when atheists say that r/atheism gives atheism a bad name.
Well, you know what that subreddit is? It's not...
It's r/circlejerk with an atheism... Bent.
Atheism isn't about hating on religion.
Yes.
Atheism is just, hey, we live in this world and we can observe it through these means and let's figure it out. It's not like, oh, Christianity, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Yeah.
Who cares about that? But the problem is r/atheism is populated by people who left Christianity,
yeah.
6.5 days ago.
Well, I mean, that's
a lot to say.
I feel like atheism is. I feel like atheism is great on its own. Like you don't need to. Like I feel like that's a major thing that people don't like about religion is that they say all other religions are terrible and they keep preaching that message. That's the thing that turns people off to religion is that. Saying, oh, you know that dude who grew up in rural Pakistan who there's no way he could have ever known about Christianity? Yeah, he's going to fucking hell. Predestined, right. Motherfucker. Like that turns people off. And when you, if you just stand on the tenets of your own religion and then not worry about other religions, that's why people like your religion. I mean, that's why people like Buddhism. Like, nobody's going out saying Buddhism fucking sucks.
I'm sure some people are.
On r/atheism.
The point is, who cares?
Whatever. Yeah.
Being an atheist, you know what's great about being an atheist?
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care. I don't have to care. No one cares.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Chill. Just chill out.
It's done. Yeah. Chill out.
Just
who
chill
cares?
Out. So a couple things.
Do your own thing.
A couple things on this United States of Atheism that I really like. They didn't just look United States of Atheism. United States of Reddit.
they didn't, Freudian slip there.
Hello? They didn't just look at Reddit. They looked at other things. So, like, number one place where Craigslist meetups or Craigslist misconnections happen. And kind of the most hilarious thing here is that you can have the Walmart belt. And you it helps you understand. It helps paint a picture for you of where Walmart is, like, the number one place that people go. And this is Montana rolling into South Dakota. That's one section. The other section is basically New Mexico. And that goes all the way up over to North Carolina and Florida. And then there's a nice little rust belt there, which is most of Ohio. So most misconnections happen at Walmart in Montana to South Dakota, New Mexico to North Carolina and Florida, and then just a nice little rust belt in Ohio, West Virginia area. But there's some interesting things here. So Jesse, where do you think Washington ranks? Where are the most misconnections happening in Washington?
I gotta say, okay, I'm torn between Spokane and Tacoma.
No, this has to be like an actual physical place. So it would be like Taco Bell.
Okay. In Washington State, the most misconnections are going to be ads.
It's actually on the bus.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know that public transportation counted.
Yeah, on the bus. Southern California, fitness center. Nevada, casino.
Ha! I saw you. You're playing the Lucky Irishman. And you just hit a big jackpot.
Hang
out with you, buddy.
Salt Lake City up to, like, basically Boulder, Colorado. College campuses.
Church.
College campuses. Most of Colorado, gas station. The Midwest, including Minnesota, the supermarket. Wisconsin, that's the place you really want to be because that's the bar. Most misconnections at the bar. Oklahoma, McDonald's. Actually, Kansas, McDonald's. Oklahoma, State Fair.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oklahoma loves their state fairs, man.
That is, you're getting out, you're going, you're having fun. There's carnival rides, there's games, there's oxen that are graded on a scale of white to blue. I love it. That's where I want to be.
Love it. We got Michigan, the Superstore.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Superstore, apparently. I'm guessing they're saying like Costco or Sam's Club.
Ew.
The Illinois area is on the train. Indiana.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
On the train?
On the train in Illinois.
Wow.
My favorite one by far. Most misconnections. If you're looking at Indiana, home of Bald Move Tower or origin point of Bald Move Tower, the most misconnections happen at home.
Huh.
So like you're holding you're holding a party maybe, and maybe people come over that you don't know.
That's extremely confusing.
It's really confusing, and it basically that's what Indiana's all about, is being confusing.
Although it might be a good move though, like I wake up, I'm at work before my wife wakes up. If I just get on Craigslist and do a little misconnection and be like, hey, saw you this morning. You were sleeping. You looked really cute. Hit me up. I lay my head down next to you about 2 hours before you do.
It was super creepy. That's awesome. Kentucky Colonel at the supermarket. If you're in Atlanta, Georgia, you're talking about the car. South Carolina, you're talking about the football game. Virginia.
Yeah. At the car?
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense because apparently they have notoriously bad traffic in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, you mean like physically in your vehicle?
Yeah, like I saw you on I-87. It was stop and go.
Wow. What a horrible way to live your life.
Virginia, the train. Maryland, the park. Kind of nice. Virginia, the gym. New Jersey, the train.
Trains.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Pennsylvania, the convenience store. Most of New York on the subway. Massachusetts in the parking lot. It's really creepy. I like this here because you're basically just looking at New Hampshire isolated at the bar. And then up to Maine at the supermarket. This is a really interesting map.
Supermarket. I feel like a supermarket's a good place to meet your SO.
Well, I mean, everybody's there. Everybody's stressed out. I don't know. I feel like it's a stressful environment.
At the supermarket?
Yeah.
You're stressed at the supermarket? I'm not.
I don't know, man. I get stressed out. But I live in the city. So
I get to the supermarket and like, oh, snap. I just found some 30% off beef grass-fed short ribs. And I feel really good right now.
Yeah, but you live in a small-town supermarket. I go to the Ballard Safeway. Or the Ballard Fred Meyer. Like, that place is... It's insane. It's Hurricane Katrina, post-Hurricane Katrina New Orleans at all times. It is freaky.
Okay, fair enough. So I guess I don't have to go through that.
There's only one more map that I want to mention here in this map segment, because I love maps. And that is...
I do. We truly love maps as well.
Yeah, we gotta love maps. Who doesn't love maps? So
I'm sure people hate maps out there.
Well, yeah, West Virginia hates maps. Virginia is for lovers. West Virginia hates maps.
West Virginia, mapless country.
No maps, don't give a crap. It's on their license plate.
No map, no problem. West Virginia, deal with it. Fucking magnets, how do they work? Fucking compasses. Same question.
All right, Jesse, so this is a question I have to pose to you. According to OkCupid, what is the most DTF state in the union? So, and we're talking here, these are personal preferences. We have love on one side, sex on the other. What state ranks highest in the sex response to that question?
I'm going to go with Colorado.
Mm. You're kind of close.
Oh, okay.
So you are within two states of Colorado. Do you want to give it another
Wyoming.
Go?
Wyoming.
Oh, my God. You're so hot. You're getting hot. Getting hotter. Did Colorado?
Is it a Dakota?
Oh, my God. Oh, you're a little cooler.
Oh, God. Now I'm... Nebraska?
Oh, you're getting cold. You're getting cold.
Oh, all right. Just tell me.
Montana, Mo.
Montana's the DTF state.
Montana is the most DTF state in
Put
the union.
Put that on the license plate.
Well, I mean, they're already big sky country.
Uh-huh.
But according to OkCupid, more people put sex as opposed to love on their OkCupid profile in Montana than any other state in the union.
What is doing that? What do you think is causing that?
Well, it's interesting because actually Montana, if you look at the map, they're actually in a little bit of a hot zone because you had it right, man. Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, all kind of the hot zone of the upper big sky country, DTF. Interestingly enough, one of the least DTF states, New Jersey.
Hmm. What?
Yeah. So Jersey Shore lied to us.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
My head is spinning.
Other high-ranking DTF states, Oregon, very high.
Okay.
Vermont, very high.
Mm, both hippie towns.
Yep.
Hippie states.
And then there's a smattering, New Mexico, relatively high. West Virginia, relatively high. Some of the least DTF states, Jesse, Ohio.
Okay.
And weirdly enough, New Hampshire bordering Vermont.
Huh. What? Okay, what's going on with the differentiation there?
I don't know, man. Apparently, you need to pick your state. You need to pick your side of the state line, Vermont and New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
Maybe where, like, New Hampshire's where you go to party, and then Vermont's where you go to actually raise your family. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Also, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina. These are light states, and there's basically one lone light state in the West, and I think you could probably guess what that one is. smack dab in the middle of the West. Home of the...
Oh, Utah.
Yeah, Utah. Utah's excellent. Okay. I just think this stuff is so interesting. So check out these social media maps. It's this. Go to slate.com, the United States of Reddit, and they actually did a full week of mapping the United States in different ways. Very, very interesting stuff. So anyway, check that out. Check it out. Jesse, ready to do a Facebook roundup?
Let us
do it. So each week we go on Facebook, on the Personal Arrogance Facebook page. We say, "Hey guys, we are recording tonight, and you should type in this thread. And if you do, then we will talk about what you type, and you type, and then we talk about it. And that's what we call the Facebook roundup. Start off with Rolo Tomasi. If Facebook can stop telling me to boost this post, that would be nice. Rolo says." Do you ever get that not-so-fresh feeling? What do you recommend? I don't really know what he's talking about, but apparently, I mean, my number one recommendation in that situation is Double Mint Gum.
I'd say Lysol. I think that's what Lysol was originally created for.
And I think that'll cover all your bases. Double Mint Gum and Lysol. Just put it where it's appropriate. Levi says...
But not at the same time. That's how you make napalm. It's common urban legend.
It's like bleach and ammonia. Do not mix. Levi says, you're going to get Destiny Eric? And I say, probably not. I'm sorry. Mitch says, Eric, buy a PS4 and play Destiny with us. It's like Halo, but good. Smiley face. I haven't played a video game in like a month.
All right, Eric.
Yeah.
Are we at a lull? I think we're officially at a lull.
I'm just so much more interested in playing board games than video games at this point.
And there's a reason, because we're at a lull. Yeah. I'm watching this, what's that ad out? It's like that sort of punk rock skateboarder game for the Xbox 360.
Yeah, it's Sunset Overdrive.
Sunset Overdrive. I keep seeing these ads.
Yep.
And that game, it looks boring as hell.
I played it at PAX, and guess what, Jesse? It was boring as hell. It was really, not very fun.
I mean, that's what they're pumping their advertising dollars into in a big way. I just feel like there's nothing really out right now to really draw someone into buying a console.
Yeah,
I feel like we're at a lull right now.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't think I'm going to get Destiny. The next game I buy will probably be Madden, and I'll buy it in April when it's $20.
I cannot wait to play Madden against you.
Yeah, dude. You got to bring your own controller, though, because one of my controllers crapped out.
Okay, I'll do that. It'll be fun.
I also have fun climbing. I bought Alan Wake on Amazon. I'm kind of excited to play that, but that's like a $5 game.
I've just barely started scratching the surface of L.A. Noire.
Oh yeah, it's good.
I
like it.
So far, I'm feeling extremely streamlined. Sort of like, just press the button. Yeah. Walk there, press the button.
Yeah, that's true. It definitely puts you on rails a little bit. But whatevs. JM says...
We'll see. I just barely started.
Okay. JM says, Avengers Age of Ultron trailer thoughts. I think we got those. Mitch says, also I'm missing, is it worse than a punch in the face? Jesse, we need some more punches to the face. 4 upvotes on that one. 4 likes.
It's just been... My life has been too good. I can't complain.
It's been gravy, baby.
Hey, Eric, is raising $30,000 on Kickstarter worse than a punch in the face?
But seriously, guys, please contribute. Honestly, there's $1,600 left before we can make that joke. Kurt says...
Don't punch me in the face, please.
Kurt says, making $29,600 on Kickstarter when you have a $30,000 goal, or is it a punch in the face? Yes!
Certainly.
Kurt says, favorite childhood Halloween candy. I have a soft spot for Rockets, Smarties in the USA, chocolate bars. were few and far between when I was a kid. I like Smarties a lot, but of course you got to go Reese's Pieces / Kit Kat bars. Easily the best.
I'm a Tootsie Roll man.
Really?
I love the Tootsie Roll.
I like the flavor Tootsie Roll. I don't like the chocolate Tootsie Roll.
Oh, I love the chocolate Tootsie Roll.
You would. Leland says, White House fence jumpers. Is it time for a new fence? Should they raise it higher? What about bulletproof glass enclosure? Like an aquarium, are people just too crazy to do anything realistic to stop them from trying? I'm just saying bear traps.
I'm just saying, have we given up on moats?
You are a genius, sir. Technically the South also, so you can load that thing up with alligators. And they'll be at home.
Yeah, I mean, try and stop the alligators from getting in that.
Sean says, there's a confirmed case of Ebola in New York City. Hopefully their public transit operators will be less complacent about mysterious puddles of blood than those in Seattle. Yes, hopefully. Dude, if the blood had happened pre-Ebola outbreak, that would have been a huge disaster. I would have been quarantined for 30 days.
I had an Ebola nightmare last night,
wow.
Actually.
Huh. Yeah. I had Ebola cereal this morning.
Ayo.
Ayo. Eric says, in honor of Lovecraft Brewing Company, Kickstarter coming to what needs to be a successful conclusion in the next few days. What is the most badass vessel, real or fictional, from which to drink beer? I got to go with the one that our good listener Joe gave me. It's an Innsmouth Horror tiki glass. I freaking love drinking beer out of that thing.
I got to go with your grandma's urn.
Jesus, that is badass. But the thing you got to say is she would have wanted it this way.
Yeah, exactly. She was. I mean, alcoholism killed her.
She was a whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Levi says, don't listen to Mitchell, just buy a 360. I just made it to level 20. Fun stuff. Fun stuff, Levi. Levi also says, oh, yeah. And if you don't talk about it in a segment, what do you think about this Heavy Right real-life hoverboard introduced via Kickstarter campaign? Jesse, have you seen this hoverboard?
I actually have. I'm extremely skeptical. There's no way.
Well, the unfortunate thing about this hoverboard is it doesn't work on any surface. It has to be on a hover surface. So
that, yeah, that's kind of a deal breaker.
We're still a step removed from Back to the Future 2. Yeah. And then finally, Mitch says, don't listen to Levi go. Don't get stuck in the ways of the past. Just make it to level 27. I'm more well-versed in the ways. And then a flat face, not even a smiley face. So thanks for the flame war, guys. Thanks for the comments. And thanks for the Facebook roundup. Once again, you can get in touch with us, 360-362-0024. Leave us a email at personalarrogance@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook. We're at the Bald Moon Facebook page and the Personal Arrogance Facebook page, at Personal Podcast on Twitter. Most important thing, guys, that we want you to remember, though, it's nearing the end of the podcast. If you haven't given already and you have that inkling in your heart, you say, I want to give a little bit to this Lovecraft Brewing Company thing. Stop the podcast right now and go to Lovecraft Brewing Company on Kickstarter and throw it a don, because the only thing that's going to knock this this Kickstarter down is donut hacks on donations.
Yeah.
Love it. Also, baldmove.com. You guys know about baldmove. Baldmove.com. Just go there and do the Baldmove stuff, including the Gotham Blotter featuring me and Levi, Rocky Mountain correspondent. So do all that stuff. Jesse, recos this week?
I got nothing.
How about Lovecraft Brewing Company on Kickstarter? It literally is your last chance. This is it. If you haven't given and you want to give, you're listening to this podcast, this is your last chance to give. Go to Kickstarter and give and be a hero. Be a great American hero.
Do it.
Do it. I got a couple recos this week. First one is The Box Trolls, which is a animated movie. It's claymation. It's done by Laika, which is down in Portland, Oregon. And Lady and I went to see this on a little bit of a whim, but I really liked it. And Jesse, this is a movie that you can watch with your daughter. So once it comes out on DVD, check out The Box Trolls for little Russell Nisha.
Hmm, cool.
And I think that's about all I have. That's a show, buddy.
Yeah.
All right.
Wrap it.
Kickstarter.com. Check out Lovecraft Brewing Company. And until next time, we love you. And drink beer. And remember that wherever you go,
whatever you do,
please stay,
stay arrogant. Unless your team is the Panthers.
Wow. The